Hello and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lokelani, your host, and today my husband Alex will be preaching about how the Word of God cleanses us. So how do we stay pure when we live in a world that encourages us to just do whatever feels right? We do not have the power to overcome this on our own. We can't muster up enough strength to keep ourselves from doing the things our flesh wants to do or to fight against some of the demonic forces that are behind these temptations. We must find strength by hiding God's word in our heart and truly delighting in it. We can't just read scripture and memorize it. We must love it more than anything else and believe that it is true. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read the text, Psalms 119, 9 through 16, and then Alex will take it away. So be sure to stick around. Verse 9, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word.
So good. I'm going to change my translation so I have the same as you. So if you are feeling like you're dirty or you're not like able to serve God, or you just feel like the devil is just constantly putting your past in front of you and the things that you know scripture says you're forgiven of, you just can't seem to believe those things, this is going to be for you, because I just want you to know that you've been made clean, that He who knew no sin was made sin on your behalf. That doesn't mean Jesus, became sinful. It means that God treated him as though he had committed all the sins that you committed, that I committed, that everyone that ever chose to rebel against God. He took that wrath for you. So this word became flesh and it cleanses us. And this is just, it's fascinating, guys, that we will spend way more time watching TV or reading words in comment sections or, you know, on our phones than in the Word of God. Don't you see that? That's not natural. It shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. These words, God's words, created the universe. Mm-hmm. God's word put multiple moons on other planets. God's words keep gravity, like, attaching us to the earth right now. God's word made all that. God's mm-hmm. word made nothing or something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. God's word did that. And so I just want to take a moment and just pray and ask God to help me communicate the power of his words and how it can cleanse us from the inside out. Because I just don't want to mess this up. It's just too big of a deal. And so let's pray. Father, we really need to be able to look at your word rightly. We need your spirit, God, to give us the love and the peace and the understanding and the clarity of mind to push back our flesh, to push back the evil forces that don't want us to see Jesus as he truly is. The word of God, mm-hmm. the only way by which we can be saved, the name of Jesus. So God, we pray and we beg you that you would just have mercy on us so that we can see how the word of God cleanses us in a new way, and that it would just transform us, God, mm-hmm. so deeply that after this message that we would never be the same, God. We believe your word has the power to do that. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you will. In your name we pray. Verse 9, it says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Let's unpack this. Why does it say young person? It's because young people go under an intense amount of stress and temptation. Young people have passions and young people have temptations. They have their whole life ahead of them. They have every reason not to live purely. And they have this whole world trying to take them out. Mm-hmm. The demons, they want to grab kids at a young age. This is why you see TV shows throwing in these weird innuendos. My son Amos was reading this book called Cat Kid, and it's by the same author who did Captain Underpants, and Captain Underpants and Cat Kid are under this genre of irreverent humor. This is what they put on the book. Like, they're out in your face, irreverence. That's why this book is funny. That's why kids love it. Are you serious? You know what the Bible says about irreverence? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The reverence of the Lord, beginning of knowledge. So the opposite is the beginning of stupidity. Falling into irreverence is the first step into getting into stupidity and foolishness and debauchery. And that's what this book is celebrating. It's a young book. I used to read all these books when I was a kid. And I realized that, oh, this is why I probably thought the way that I thought. Because words have power, guys. Don't you know that all words have power?
That's true.
God's words have the most power, but all words have power. We've been made in God's image. And because we've been made in his image and in his likeness, he has given us the ability to share words. And these words have power behind them. They have the power to hurt or to kill or to heal. And so how can we stay pure? How can a young person stay pure? If you want to be cleansed, if you want to be cleaned at a young age, it's by this, obeying your word. This word obeying, it means guarding. Guarding. The word of God guards us. It cleans us by first guarding us and protecting us. My father-in-law and I were trying to get to this secret beach, and we passed like tons of beaches to get there. It was a long hike. And once we get so close to this beach, we start trekking through these hedges. And the hedges, as we get closer, get thicker and thicker and thicker. And the thorns on this bush called kiawe wood gets taller and taller and taller. And these thorns are hitting us in the face and the arms and the legs. And we're starting to bleed a little bit. And it just gets thicker and thicker to the point where we turn around and we go back. We could not get to the beach. It was guarded by these hedges. Don't you know the word of God guards you from sin, guards you from temptation, guards you from the evil one, guards you from demons. It protects you so that if those demons, if those temptations, if those sins try to get close to you after you spent time in God's word, obeying God's word, living according to his word, if they try to get close to you, they get cut up and bruised up and beat up trying to get to you. And let's say some of them do get through. They'll be so recognizably beat up by the word of God, you'll be able to be like, hey, that right there, that bloody one, yeah, that's a demon. That bloody one, that's a temptation. Yeah, that bloody one, that's a lie. That bloody one, that is from Satan, that's sin. You'll be able to identify it because of how the word of God guards you and keeps you and protects you. Verse 10, it says, I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. This word find means seek. To really seek, to really go deep and look and see what it is that God is trying to tell you to do. How do we do this? We do this. I got to switch back to the ESV because I have some notes on this part of my app. This is why you use a real Bible, guys, and not this little piece of junk. Just kidding. I love this book, but I love this iPad. But having the Word of God is better because you can flip through the pages. You can write notes. You can make it all colorful. I don't know why I tried to use this today. Maybe just to share that part. Here we go. Seek. It says to seek. With my whole heart, I seek you. Seeking means nothing else is going to stop you from getting what you're looking for. Seeking means everything in you wants and needs the thing that you're looking for. This one time I got lost with my friend in the wilderness of Kauai looking for this place called Jurassic Falls. It's from the very first scene of the movie, of the very first movie. And we're looking, seeking all day. We leave at 8 o'clock. We get lost. We don't get home till 8 p.m., past 8 p.m. It was dark. We lost gear. We lost some of our camera gear. Our phones died. It was pitch black. We had to trek through the water of this huge river with our gear over our head. We got legitimately lost looking for this thing. And guess what? This is why. Because sometimes when we seek things with all of our heart, and because of our heart is so deceitful and evil above all things, we wander. The things we seek after, we wander because our heart is evil. If we had a perfect heart, if we had a pure heart, the things we seek, we would find easily. We would seek after God and we would find him. We would draw near to him and he would draw near to us. But the point is, we wander like this verse is saying. Why? Evil hearts, sinful hearts. Also, another side of that is the devil does not want you to get close to God. The devil will put any type of demon, any type of temptation, any type of distraction in front of you. Sometimes demons, although demons don't have bodies, they're spirits, they can possess a person and use that person to oppose you. The devil doesn't want you seeking God.
So there may be things in your life that are keeping you from really seeing Jesus as your Savior, really seeing the Word of God as the source of purity, of cleansing. That is things that are trying to get you to wander. So he's saying, I seek you with my whole heart. Let me not wander from your commandments. You see, a person who guards their life according to their word, the person who obeys God's word, a person whose life is being cleansed by God's word, don't you see? They are the person that seek God with their whole heart. Don't you see? They are the person that does what verse 11 says. They store up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. A person that is being guarded and purified by the word of God, they not only seek God, they not only ask God to help them not wander, they also hide the word of God in their heart. Mm-hmm. To store means to hide. My son Amos, when you give him a toy, as long as that toy has a series of other toys in the collection, he will memorize every single one. He knows every dinosaur, every shark, every TV show and a series of TV shows. He memorizes things that he loves. Why? He does not like to be found wrong about the things he loves. When you store up things in your heart that you love, you will not be found wrong with those things. He says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not wrong you, that I might not sin against you. Because I love you, because I seek you, because I don't want to wander, because I know your word guards me. What I do is I store your word in my heart. I memorize it. I hide it in there so that when the stuff hits the fan, I don't sin against you. Mm-hmm. When my son is approached and said, what is this dino? He knows right away. Why? He loves dinos. He does not want to be found wrong according to dinos. So store God. What does this mean? Memorize the word. If it's one verse a week, memorize it. If you got to write it on your hand, if you got to write it on your dashboard, if you got to put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror. This is a lost art that we are forgetting to do. You have to memorize scripture. I know this was like a 1990s vacation Bible school type thing, VeggieTales thing. No. Whatever QWERTY tells you at the end of the episode of VeggieTales, memorize that verse. Mm-hmm. Whatever Bob the Tomato verse he's reading to you, memorize it. Get it in your head. Write it down. Put it in there. Why? It helps you not to sin against God. Here comes a demon. Here comes temptation. Here comes your flesh. Here comes the world. You know how to respond. Why? You've hidden God's word in your heart. We went on a hike the other day with my father-in-law, and he had bananas in his backpack. I didn't have any food. And so we get to one of the beaches, and it was already 3 miles in, and I'm starving, and he pulls out a banana. He hid something in his heart, in his backpack, so that when the time came, he had what he needed.
Yes.
I had what he needed. Don't you know, when you hide the word of God in your heart, it helps the people around you in a time of need. Mm-hmm. They may not have stored the word of God in their heart, but they have the word of God available to them because you hid it in your heart. It will help you not sin against God. Verse 12, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. So what's happening here is this young person who is deciding to hide God's word in his heart, to seek God's word, to believe that God's word will guard him and keep him. He stops in verse 12 and he says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. This word blessed means to kneel. He's saying, God, I bow my heart before you, God. Would you teach me your law? Teach me all your words. This word teach means to goad. You goad a cow when you're trying to get him in the pasture. You goad a goat when you're trying to get him to go the way you want them to go. Beasts, animals are stubborn. They need goading. They need prodding. Our hearts are sinful and evil like that of a beast. When Jesus came to earth and he was born in a manger, in a feeding trough, the animals around them, they were used to eating from the feeding trough. So Jesus was placed, because Jesus is the word of God, he is the bread of life, born in a place called Bethlehem, the house of bread, laid in a feeding trough, because sin has made us animals, and we must feed on Jesus in order to have the curse lifted and the sin reversed and us be given new life, resurrected from this old evil life. That is God's word. So he's saying, blessed are you, O Lord. I kneel before you. I don't kneel before anything else. I don't kneel before false idols. I don't kneel before my phone. If you go around and you see people looking at your phone, you know what they're doing? They're kneeling. They're bowing their head.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching the video podcast on YouTube, people on their phones are like this. What am I doing right now? I'm bowing my head at an idol. These screens are idols. They're idols, and we bow before them. We kneel before them. It's horrible. He said, I don't do that. I kneel before you, O Lord. Blessed are you. Teach me, prod me, push me, goad me to do what you say. Because there's times where I like to fall back into that fleshly nature, that beastly nature, that animal nature. And I don't want that. So God, if you got to prod me and push me, do it. Psalms 23. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff weren't necessarily comforting things at first sight for the sheep. Because the shepherd would use the rod sometimes to break the leg of the sheep because the sheep was wandering off too much. And he would stitch that leg up, splint it up, and that would cause the shepherd to have to carry the sheep most of the way. But in that time of the rod breaking the sheep, and in this time of pain and suffering, what the sheep would learn is to stay close to the shepherd. So then, after the leg is healed, all the shepherd would need now is the staff to keep him close. Because he's learned not to intensely wander, to abandon, to ignore. He's learned that, so all he needs is the staff. The staff had this little hook on it that would fit perfectly around the chest of the sheep. And he would just gently hook him around softly against the wool and pull him back on the path. The question is, do you need the rod from God today, or do you need the staff? Mm-hmm. This person in verse 12 is saying, give me the rod, because I know I'm going to go away. Even if it hurts, goad me, teach me your statutes. Verse 12 or verse 13. With your lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. So now what he's saying here is he showed us in verse 9 what a young person can do to stay pure, guarding it according to their word. It shows us what that will look like in verse 10 and 11. Your whole heart will seek. You won't wander. You'll store up the word in your heart. You might not sin against God. And then verse 12, this. He exclaims, I want this. I want it more than anything. And then verse 13 and 14, it's going to show us what it looks like and what to do. If you want the word of God to purify you, to cleanse you, if you want your life to be guarded by the word of God, look at verse 13 and verse 14. It says, with my lips, I declare. Mm-hmm. If I really buy into this idea that God's word can cleanse me, I will declare. This declare means to roll call. When you go to school and they say, okay, guys, we're going to do some roll. Alex Wilson here. Lokalani Wilson here. That's roll call. He says, if you believe the word of God, if you know the word of God can guard you and keep you, you'll do the same. When you're praying, when you're alone, when you're driving, when you're getting tempted, when something in your life is just tormenting and torturing you, when demons are trying to infiltrate your life and just tempt you and just mess with you, and you need God's help. When you're depressed, but you don't want to be depressed. When you're angry and you don't want to be angry. You know, these demonic spirits are just going at you and trying to not get you to see Jesus as Lord. When your own flesh is trying to keep you, when your flesh is crying out for lust and crying out for gluttony and crying out for just evil idols, you can do this. You can, with your lips, declare the rules of God's mouth so that God's words become your words. Putting God's words in your mouth and declaring them, now they're becoming your words. You're becoming one with God. This is what he wants with you. This is what he wants for you to be one with him. So saying, God, I know that you have not given me a spirit of fear, that's just that, but of peace, love, and a sound mind. Saying things, God, that you became sin. So you became sin, even though you knew no sin, so I could become the righteousness of God. Saying things that I am God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus, that I've been made part of the royal priesthood. All the scriptures that you know, even if it's just one, saying it out loud. Roll call doesn't happen quietly. We can't read the teacher's mind when she's saying, is this kid present? You got to say it out loud. You got to declare it over yourself. This is not call it charismatic or whatever, but the word of God is real and powerful and can change any situation, because at the name of Jesus, all demons flee and all knees are going to bow. Whether you're atheist, whether you hate God or whatever. The point is, you will bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at some point. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. So declare these things. You want the word of God to cleanse you, to guard you. What it looks like is declaring them. Write them in your house. Write them on your walls. Put them where you got to put them. Put them everywhere. Let your life be obsessed with the word of God. In verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in riches. If you were to open up your bank account right now and you were to see $1 million, man, that would feel great, right? Your day would be brightened. If you were to open up your bank account and you were to see a Bible verse, would you respond the same way? When all riches fail and when all things go away, the word of God will still be here. Mm-hmm. The same word of God that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Mm-hmm. The wither of the flowers will happen. But God's word will never wither. God's word will always be here. I want you to know there is more value in this word of God than in anything else. And I believe this. I believe that there is more wealth and value in the words of God than it is millions and billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Keep your crypto crap. Get that out of here. I want the word of God. Because Jesus tells us that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Jesus shows us as he's walking through Galilee, his hometown, and people are sick and ridden with diseases and demons. And Jesus, the word of God in the flesh, touches them and they are healed. There's a woman who is bleeding most of her life. She has this menstrual issue where she's just bleeding, 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 bleeding. In the Bible, a loss of blood is a loss of life, because life is in the blood. And so she was declared dirty and defiled by everyone around her. And they thought, there's something wrong with her. She could not help this. She cannot help what was going on with her. She didn't ask God to give her this. She didn't ask life to play her this card. Mm-hmm. She was just born this way. You see? Mm-hmm. And some of you are being tormented and tortured by demons. And you're being afflicted and oppressed. And you didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff in your life you did ask for. Some of the addictions, some of the stuff that you walked into, you did ask for. Some of the bad relationships you're in and some of the crappy stuff that you're going through, you ask for those things. But sometimes something happens to you that you had no power over, mm-hmm. and you did not ask for. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. In that story, if you read it, she tries doctors. She tries it all. Maybe if she was in today's age, she would have tried yoga. She would have tried therapy. She would have tried diet plans. She would have tried exercise. She would have tried CBD. She would have tried medicine. She would have tried everything to fix this problem. But this problem she didn't ask for was a problem she couldn't solve. And so Jesus comes along, walks by her. She touches the hem of his garment and she's healed like that. In an instant, the word of God made flesh is more valuable than riches. She could have been a billionaire and still had this bad problem. But with the word of God, she found power. She found cleansing. Now she can go back to her girlfriends and tea parties and church services, knowing I've been made clean and cleansed and purified on the inside out. How? The word of God. So in the way of your testimonies, means, which is God's word, I delight as much as in all riches. We do not know who wrote this psalm, but we do know it was someone who had their head on straight. Maybe they had a lot of money and they realized God's word is more valuable. Verse 15. So this is what you must do. We know what it looks like. We know how to do it. But what is the action steps now? Verse 15 and 16 it shows us exactly the action steps on to be cleansed, on to have a life that is guarded and kept and protected by the word of God, on how to get to the point where you are a person that loves God's word above all else. It's the number one priority. Check this out. I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statue. I will not forget. Mm-hmm. Meditate, fix, delight, not forget. Those are the four things that we must do if we want to have cleansing. And here's the thing. We're not going to be able to do these things unless God shows us, unless God empowers us. So let's look at it. When it says meditate, it means to talk to yourself about. Don't you know that on the cross that the word of God was talked about in a bad way? Yeah. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. He's hanging up on the cross by his flesh. And they're saying, if you're the Son of God, come down from there. He said he could save others. He can't even save himself. Ha ha, the king of the Jews. Yeah, sure, the king of the Jews. Talked about, laughed about, made fun of, scoffed about. But don't you know that the word of God was talked about badly so we could talk about the word of God purely in our hearts? Mm. To meditate on God's word, on his precepts, means to store this word of God in your heart and then talk about it. Talk about it to others. Talk about it to yourself. Get alone with God. Bow your head and start talking and telling God things that he said. You know he likes that? I particularly don't like that. Because my sons come to me and they say, Dad, you said this. And because I'm sinful and selfish, I'm remembered that I said something that I, at some point, didn't plan on keeping.
Mm.
I said something that I, at some point, thought, nah, I don't really want to do that anymore. Because I'm sinful, I'm imperfect as a father. But God is a perfect father. So when we meditate on his word, which means to talk back the things that he said to us back to him, he loves it. Why? Because he said, exactly what I said, I'm going to do. Oh yeah, I did say that. I did not forget. And I will do exactly as I said. So he says, I will provide for you strength, courage, even finances if you need that. If you need food, he'll provide it. Why? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their kids need and beg for food. Mm-hmm. He says, whatever I said I will do, I will do. He says, I'm going to set you apart as my priest. He says, I'm going to make sure that you always have a father because I'm a father to the fatherless. He says, I will cleanse you. I will purify you. I will forget your sins and remember them no longer. Everything that I said I will do, I will do. So say them back to him. If you want to be a person that's been purified by the word of God, meditate, talk about these things to yourself. Then fix your eyes on his ways, verse 15 says. To fix your eyes means to look intently at. This is why I was using the iPad, because it's actually nice. I can like click on words and see my notes. Now I know why I'm using it. To fix your eyes means to look intently at. It means to scan. When you put a piece of paper that you want to scan inside a fax machine, what it does is it has a light and a camera that gently scans over every part of that paper so that the facts go to the person correctly and they see everything you intended for them to see. A person who is cleansed by God's word is a person who fixes their eyes on God's words. Mm-hmm. You need to stop fixing your eyes on the black screens in your life, the black mirrors in your life. The black mirrors in your life is your TV, is your phone, is your iPad, is your laptop. Black screens, black mirrors. They're mirrors that when you look into them, you don't see yourself fully. You see a glimpse of yourself. You don't see the real you. So when you look into it, it's not a true mirror. It's not a healthy mirror. Because the black mirror doesn't want you to see yourself. The black mirror wants you to see whatever false lies and evil is inside of that mirror. Mm-hmm. But the word of God, James tells us, is like a perfect mirror that shows us every detail of ourselves. Shows us exactly as we are. So that means two things. It shows us how sinful and evil and how under attack by the enemy we are. But also shows us this. We are more loved than we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. You are more cherished by God than you could ever think of or imagine. it will not really truly make sense to you when you truly deeply look into how much God loves you and cherishes you and delights in you. It's so hard for us to get because our parents didn't treat us this way. Our parents liked to, everyone's parents liked to cherish and delight in other things than us. Because they're sinful and they're selfish just like you. You're going to do the same thing with your kids. But we have a perfect Father in heaven who cherishes you. And as you look in the Word of God, you see how deep and how vast and how long and how wide His love is for you. Mm-hmm. So fix your eyes on His Word. Don't you think it's odd, right? That you can stay up till 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, looking at your phone, looking at Instagram. But the second you open up your Bible app or you open up the Bible, what happens? You fall asleep. The devil does not want you to fix your eyes on the Word of God. Why? The Word of God is your only hope. The Word of God is Jesus, and the Word of God is our salvation. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Amen. It's Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. Fix your eyes on Him and to the point where you start to, verse 16, delight in His statutes. Mm-hmm. This word delight, it means to look upon with complacency. It means I'm looking so deeply at this thing, I'm complacent when it comes to everything else. It means to stare so heavily, you're so in love with that thing, you don't care about what's going on. We don't do this with God. We don't stare at Him with complacency for everything else. To be complacent means like, ah, whatever. For a person who is purified and cleansed by God's love, that is what they're like. They delight in God's word so deeply, they say, I don't care about nothing else. I delight in You. Smear away everything else in my life. I'm focused on this statue. I'm focused on these words. A person like that will not forget God's word, because this word forget in verse 16, it means to ignore. The problem is, we aren't this way. Don't you see that the Word of God was looked at intently, but with bad intentions when He was on the cross? Jesus, the Word of God, made flesh, hanging by His flesh on the cross. He was looked at definitely, intently, but with bad intentions. Murderers were looking at Him. Scoffers, evildoers, wicked people were looking at Him with the wrong intentions. Looking intently, but the wrong intentions. Don't we look that way often at God? James says, listen, why are there quarrels and fights and squabbling among you? Isn't it because you have desires inside you that aren't being met? And you're coming to God with these desires, but you're coming the wrong way because these desires are the desires you want to please yourself. Yes. They have wrong intentions. We look at God with the wrong intentions. We look at God as if He's genie from Aladdin. He's not. We look at God as if He's a manifestation overlord. No, He's not. He's Lord over manifestation. Manifestation is bullcrap. It's empty. It's stupid. It's demonic.
Yes.
It's a scheme from the devil to make you think that you don't need Jesus. To make you think that you're more powerful than Jesus. That you can muster up some strength. You don't have strength. I'm sorry to tell you. You don't have any strength. You actually have this thing called the flesh that keeps you from being strong. We need God's help to remove the flesh, to pull back the flesh so that we can live by the Spirit. Because if we live by the flesh, we're going to be living a life full of destruction and death. Yep. And delight. Instead of delighting in God's word, when He came to earth and became flesh, we delighted in everything else but the word of God, and we killed the word of God. Humans destroyed the word of God on the cross. They destructed His body, His flesh. And He rose again with all power to show us that the word of God shall never return void. The word of God shall never be held down. The word of God shall never be destroyed because He lives forever. And so verse 16, it says, forget. The word of God, this word also means ignored. It was ignored. Jesus was ignored on the cross, on Calvary. He was ignored so that you would never ignore the word of God. All this comes down to is we won't live a life of purity unless God's word is not ignored in our life. Mm. As long as you are ignoring the word of God, you will not be cleansed by the word of God. The problem is we are horrible at this. We are so good at ignoring God. And it's unnatural, guys. Again, bringing it full circle, it's unnatural to ignore the words that made the universe, that words that are keeping you alive right now. You know, God's words are keeping you alive right now. As soon as he says it's your time, it's your time. Actually, your time is already set. The Bible says it's once appointed unto man to die. And after that, the judgment. Your time is set. I don't know when that day is. It could be today. But here's the thing about it being your day. 90% of people who meet their day don't know it's their day. A lot of people every year die in Hawaii. Why? This place is dangerous. The water is dangerous. Mm-hmm. The grounds, the wilderness, the forest, the woods, it's dangerous. People die every year here. And guess what? All of them thought they were going on vacation. But they ended up going on an eternal vacation or an eternal damnation. You don't know when your day is going to be. So do not dare ignore God's word. Mm-hmm. This could be the last message you hear. This could be the last thing that you hear that is your chance to repent and to turn to God. But the point is, your day is coming, and where will you spend eternity? Will you spend eternity in the presence forever clean, forever pure? No more evil thoughts, no more dark days. Will you spend eternity with the word of God like that? Or will you spend eternity in eternal darkness, forever defiled, forever destroyed, forever destructed, forever dirty? That is where you're headed if you choose to ignore God's word. We got to wake up, guys. We got to see how demonic the TV is, how demonic our phones are. I'm not saying you can't have a TV. I'm not saying you can't have a phone. You know, it's fun to have movie nights. It's fun to, you know, connect with people online and post, you know, encouraging content. Great. But we got to see how distractions are demonic. Mm-hmm. Anything that causes you to ignore God's word. We act like it's weird to talk about God all the time. It's not weird to talk about God all the time. People don't like it, but who cares if they don't like it? I went to the beach yesterday, and this guy that I was talking to, he was like, yeah, I'm from LA. I was like, oh, cool. My dad's from LA. He's like, what part? I told him what part. And he goes, oh, yeah, you know, I moved to LA, and I moved to Hawaii, and then I moved back, and I realized, you know, why am I in LA? So I moved back. And he was like, yeah, was your dad there during the riots and stuff like that? I was like, yeah, he was there during the riots and stuff. And he was like, man, like still a lot of relationships that haven't been healed. And I was like, you know, I looked at him, I guess, you know what? Everyone needs God in their life. And he looked at me like I had said the most offensive thing ever. And he, sure enough, he was like, yeah, okay. And he walked away. As soon as I mentioned God, he turned the other way. That's not natural. Mm-hmm. I want you to see this and never forget this. You are not weird for loving God. You are not weird for wanting to talk about God. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is weird for not wanting to talk about God. Are you serious? That's weird. I mean, imagine working at Apple and saying, like, I just never, ever want to talk about the iPhone. I never want to talk about Steve Jobs. I'm sorry, you can't do it. You will not have a job there. Mm-hmm. Because the person who had this vision to begin with, his DNA is in everything that they do at Apple. Don't you see that God's DNA is in every part of our life. Everything is spiritual. Stuff doesn't just happen. Why? God is sovereign.
Yes.
So it can't just happen. That is not the way the world works. Things happen according to God's will, whether it be his permissive will, things he just, like he says, I give permission to this, or his other will that he just allows things to happen because there is something that will be accomplished in the end. Mm-hmm. It's different, but the point is this. He is in control of everything. So stuff just not just doesn't just happen. So if you want to talk about God, if you want to devote your life to God, if you want to just, you know, do weird stuff like get rid of your TVs and have a projector for movie night like we do. Like if you want to live differently and set apart from the Word of God to where people are going to be like, you're strange, you're weird, so be it. Because when he comes back and he cracks the sky and he rides a cloud, the Bible says, from heaven to earth, and we see that cloud descending, it will all make sense.
Yeah.
I want to play the long game. I don't want to fit in with the world. We see this happening in Christianity today. Content creators, musicians, they all want to be like the world. They want to see how much like the world can we be. Mm. No, we're in the world, not of it. In it means you're recognizably human and you're recognizably down to earth and humble and approachable. That means you're in the world. You know, when someone says, oh, that person, yeah, he's like, he's not down to earth. It means they try to not be in the world. They try to live on their own planet. That's not cool. That's prideful. That's arrogant. That's strange. In the world, but not of it. Meaning you'll be recognizably human and humble and approachable, but you're so not of the world that when people see how you live, it will make some ears perk up. Because you've been cleansed by the Word of God.
Amen.
Let me pray for us. Father, we ask that your Word of God would, we ask that your Word would cleanse us and purify us, God, because you promise that's what you'll do.
Mm.
You promise to do this for us. That's why you sent your Son, the Word of God made flesh,
mm-hmm.
to do this, God, because we couldn't clean ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we pray that we would do what the psalmist is saying, meditate, fix, delight, not ignore,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that we could live a life of purity, live a life of power, live a life of transformation by keeping it according to your word, by guarding it according to your word. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Yeah, this is part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help apply this message to your life. So our question today is, why do you need God's word to cleanse you? Why do you need God's word to cleanse you? I mean, I think Alex pretty much summed it up. Our flesh and the enemy and the world is always against us and always trying to distract us and take us away from God's word and God's will for our life, which is where true life is found in Christ. Otherwise, we're just going to be constantly searching and enslaved to these things that are bringing death. And so we need that cleansing because we're constantly being bombarded with evil, whether it's in our own minds and our flesh or the world is spewing it at us from our tablets and our phones, like Alex was saying, or it's just these demonic forces that we don't see in the world, but they are present. And so, yeah, we're just in a constant battle, as some of you were commenting, like putting on the whole armor, because we're in battle every day. Every day we wake up, even while we're sleeping, we pray for our kids and ourselves to be protected in our dreams and our minds as we sleep. Because even then, you know, the enemy is trying to infiltrate. And so I love this and just treasuring the word of God and how important that is. I love thrifting. And I think like my favorite thing to find when I'm thrifting is a pair of vintage Levi's, like 90s and older, like not 2000. Like it's like, and when I find a pair, I'm just like, I want to hug them. And then like that high from finding it just is like with me all day long. And I think like, I don't need another pair of jeans, you know, like that is not really bringing me life, but God's word is life. Like it brings life. It cleanses us. It purifies us. We need it. I love that you said, like, when you store it up in your heart, you treasure it. When you're in a time of need, you have it. You're not like searching, like, oh, what do? I don't know how to face this temptation. I don't know how to answer this question. I don't know how to deal with this person. If you have God's word in your heart, you have everything you need. Yeah. And so I just think that is amazing. And we really have to learn the value of God's word and to treasure it. Yeah. And, you know, he talks about how he delights in the decrees. And we have to know that these decrees are here for our good because God knows it'll bring us life. Because if we chose our way, which we most of us know, when we chose our way, like, that brought death. You know, that brought a lot of hardship and broken relationships and nights crying in your room alone, you know. But God's word, even though it's maybe hard to obey certain things or, like, really, Lord, like, you know, I'm going to lose some friends if I do this, it's what's best for you. Yeah. And there's so much comfort and hope in that. And just know that you have brothers and sisters around the world that are doing this with you, even if, like, in your day-to-day life you don't feel like you have that. You are a part of the kingdom that is here now and that will one day be the only thing left. So, yeah, we love you guys. And it's our prayer that this message will help you see how God's word cleanses you and sets you apart from the world and into his family. And we also just want to take a moment to thank our donors. So we are supported by listeners like you, and we truly couldn't do this ministry without you. So we are so, so thankful for you guys, and we're so thankful for this community. If you'd like to donate, you can visit amenpodcast.com or click the link in our description. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, we love you. And until next time, go out and be the church.
Amen.